Today we're going to go over to John chapter 5, so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 5. Of course, we'll have it up on the screen in front of it as well, which makes it really, really handy. Because if I switch versions in the middle, she switches with me. So we're going to look at an event that most of us already know, and that's where Jesus enters into Jerusalem. And he changes an invalid man's life. There's an incredible amount of questions that we can ask about this text, but we're going to look at four or five questions about that. But first, what we'll do is we're going to read the whole story, okay? And you've heard me quote it over and over again, but you'll probably hear it more and more. Pastor Keith. Henderson. One of those singular moments Pastor Keith said, this is the only inspired part of this message. The rest of it's just my opinion. So, but first, let's pray and ask the Lord to guide us. Father, I thank you for the day. Thank you for everything that you do. Lord, I pray that, and I know that I have, that all of us have been challenged to focus on you and to place you first. And if we don't, particularly as Christians, nothing else is going to work out until we place you first. So help us determine to do that. Now, Lord, as we look at something that Jesus did in the dialogue between he and this gentleman, help us to learn some things from this in Jesus' name. Amen. Interesting to note that just before this, Jesus had just spoken the words of a young boy that was on the edge of death. And he brought him back to full health, and Jesus was not even there. He just said the words. So if there's any question about the power of Jesus, then that should answer it for you right there. Jesus is able to heal. And I think the biggest problem to consider is, do we actually believe that he will? We'll talk more about that in a moment. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. After these, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of sick people, lying, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time to the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time to be sick. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" There's a lot of things here. First thing, out of all the sick people, obviously there were all kinds of sick people there. Out of all those sick people, why did Jesus choose just that one man? Well, there's a hint at it. Well, first, you know, probably he might have been there the longest, but I think there's something else as well. Secondly, we want to ask the question, Jesus says, do you want to be made well? Now, that's a very interesting question, which we'll look at here in just a few moments. But first, let's continue verses 7 through 9. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to come put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise up, take your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that was on the Sabbath. You know, Jesus did a remarkable miracle. Was everyone happy about it? No! Who could not be happy about this? Well, we'll answer that in just a moment. Verses 10 through 16. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. And then they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was. So Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, seeing you have been made well, sin no more. Pay close attention to that. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. The Jews were not happy with what was going on, so they confronted the guy. And then the next question we're going to answer is, why was this poor beggar sick? So let's jump into the questions. Ready? Out of all the people was at the pool of Bethesda, why did Jesus choose just this one man? We've already said it could be because he was there the longest. But I think there's another reason to me. Last couple of weeks we've been talking about grace. I think Jesus healed this man purely because he wanted to. This guy was troubled. He was broken. He had been there a long time. And Jesus says, hey, I'm going to do something for this guy. So he heals him out of grace. You ever been in that place? You've been struggling for a long, long time. Seems like there is no answers to be found. You know, Jesus knew this guy was in bad shape, and there's a really good chance after 38 years, he probably had lost all hope, wouldn't you? I've never had to deal with that, but if you're ever in that place where you've been struggling with something for a very, very long time, would you trust Jesus to heal you? Now, I know that God doesn't often step into the natural world and make a massive difference, but remember, sometimes he does. Now, some people relegate healings to biblical texts. I don't. I believe God still heals today, do you?
Yes, of course.
Listen, don't give up on Jesus. Let me say it again. Don't give up on Jesus. Even though you may be struggling, maybe you might be heartbroken, maybe you've got any issue, it might be physical, it might be emotional or whatever, don't give up on Jesus. And do what we've already learned today. You know, place God first in your life. And as Tozer said, when we place God where he's supposed to be, then all the other problems that we have seem to work out. So our first step is to place God first. We're having an electronic fit here. Secondly, why did Jesus ask the men, do you want to be made well? course the man wants Jesus to heal him. Then why did he ask? As we've said before, maybe he had just given up hope. You know anybody who just kind of permeates hopelessness? And they say, what's the use? God can't do anything for me. And it's possible this man had reached that point. He said, what's the use? Can I give you a word of advice? Never, ever give up on Jesus. Never, ever give up on Jesus. Sometimes he will wait. God's notorious for waiting, isn't he? Anybody experience that? Anybody not experience that? Very rarely does the Lord answer a prayer of mine immediately. Most of the time we have to go through a long time of waiting.
Tribulation.
What's that?
Tribulation.
Yeah, but you see, tribulation works patience, patience.
Exactly.
You know, it causes
growth.
But maybe this man, what you think about this, had gotten comfortable in the situation where he was. One of the writers I was reading to research this says, Mid-Eastern beggars could make a pretty good living. Now, from a personal experience, Julie and I think we were in Sydney one time, and there was a beggar that was working the streets, and we didn't give anything to them. And then we found out that that beggar was probably living as well off and better than most because they were really good at what they did. Now, I'm not saying all beggars are that way because there are some legitimate beggars, but we're just saying it could be this guy had gotten comfortable in his situation and Jesus wanted to see if he wanted Jesus to change his life. Thirdly, Jesus wanted the man, or it could be that Jesus wanted the man to engage with him and embrace the condition. Embrace the condition. Let me explain. There's some people in the world that's living a long way away from God. And they know what to do to change them, get close back to God. But whatever reason, they're in that way because of lifestyle. They just don't want to admit it. They're comfortable in what they're doing and how they are living. Could be that Jesus wanted this guy to embrace the need and confess it. Let me give you another word of advice. If you find yourself in that situation away from God, why don't you run to Jesus? Why don't you run to Jesus? And there's no way that you would want to run to Jesus unless he's already dealing with you to come to him. So come to him. Doesn't matter the condition that you're in or the situation or the lifestyle that you're in. Come to Jesus and he will set you free. Jesus can set people free. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Folks, we need to believe that. The next question is, was everyone happy for Jesus healing this invalid? Well, the Bible says that Jesus healed the man on the Sabbath. And healing itself was a work that was forbidden by the Jews and their laws of the Sabbath. So Jesus himself was an heir to the Jewish law. And then who would have the audacity to tell somebody to pick up your bed and carry it on the Sabbath? Who does he think he is? He's Jesus. You see, the Jews were not happy with what's going on. And they couldn't help the man themselves. Shut up here. The Jews were not happy. They couldn't help the man themselves. So they go after Jesus for happening. That's what religion will do for you. That's what rules and regulations will do for you. Folks, listen. How many of you ever gone up to somebody and started talking to them about Christ and they say, I've got my own religion? Oh, yeah. More and more people, I've got my own religion. Folks, you don't need a religion. You need Jesus. You got to get religion out of the way before you can come face to face with Jesus. He's the only one that can change your life. He is the only way that can set you free. Not religion, but Jesus himself. One final question. This is a little bit of a tricky one. Why was the man sick? Why was he sick? Look at verse number 14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have made me, you have been made well. Hey, look, I've healed you. Now sin no more. What does that suggest to you?
He was a great sinner.
He had already sinned.
Yeah.
He said, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Now we don't know for sure. But the context seems to suggest that the condition that he was in might have been because of the lifestyle that he was living. Now, let me just say this. Most sicknesses are the result of living in a fallen world. Good things or bad things happen to good people. We're just human, and humans fall apart. So most sicknesses is a result of just living in this world. I mean, we're not designed to live forever here, but we're designed to live forever somewhere else. Then we have to get there somehow. I'll leave that for another day. But you see, some people are sick because of the lifestyle that they've been living. And every one of us know of someone who are in a mess because of the lifestyle they've been living. Perhaps you're struggling in life with your own lifestyle. You see, if you will admit that lifestyle and turn to God and confess it to Him, agree with Him that it's not right. This is not what He wants you to do. Agree with God. I mean, He's already dealing with you. Agree with Him that this is not the right place for you to be. And then if you turn from that lifestyle, you got to do more than confess it and agree with God. You got to say, okay, God, I'm going to turn and go the other way. That's confession and that's repentance. Agreeing with God and then turning and going the other way. You can't be expected to improve if you just keep doing what you're doing. What's the definition of insanity? To keep doing the same old thing and expect a different result. That ain't going to happen. You're tired of the direction you're going, you got to change directions. You see, I believe God is a God of grace. Do you agree? Mm-hmm. Oh, come on, church. Do you believe God is a God of grace?
Yes.
And He's just looking for the next person to shower His grace on. Is that person you? Is that person you? May I encourage you to turn to Jesus. There's an old song we used to sing, the Sibites to sing it. Reach out and touch the Lord as he walks by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. Your needs he'll supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he walks by. If you reach out and touch him, he'll heal you. But you gotta believe that, folks. You gotta believe that. Even Jesus said when he went into his hometown, he couldn't do too many things because people just didn't believe. Jesus walks into this church, do we believe enough to expect him to do things? I do. Perhaps you found yourself in this story today. Is Jesus speaking to you? I'm just going to say one to him. If he's speaking to you, don't turn him away. Run to him. Let him touch you. Let him pour his grace on you. And just as this invalid man, he can change your life. Is that what you want? But you got to run to Jesus to get that. Father, I thank you for this story in the life of Jesus. It's remarkable what he did with this guy that had been sick for 38 years. I'm just impressed with possibly why you chose him, and I think you just wanted to. This guy had enough. You wanted to make a difference in his life. Thank you for doing so. Now, Father, there might be somebody here today who's really kind of struggling themselves. Help them to run to you. And Lord, I ask that you change their lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to play a song. You know, over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at some people that Jesus healed and touched and changed their lives. Well, there's one thing that's common with everybody that Jesus changes their life. They just end up loving Jesus. This guy that Jesus just healed after being sick for 38 years, do you reckon he loved Jesus? Remember the woman that Jesus cast 7 demons out of? My goodness, she poured her riches out on him, washed his feet with her hair. She was just loving Jesus. That's what this song is all about.